Bibles, turn to the book of John, John chapter 1. I just want to speak a few minutes this morning on why we celebrate Christmas, And hopefully you'll leave here today recognizing what the choir sung about, this one called Christ who came to save us, the one who came to redeem us, and really recognize what Christmas is truly all about. By the way, they did a fantastic job, and we ought to be thankful every day for talent and using that talent for the glory of God. Let me speak to you again about why we celebrate Christmas. The Bible says this in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and then I'll jump to verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was the being with God. Now verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness to him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. If you would please pray with me. Father, we come before you. We say thank you for your power and your might and your honor and your glory. How all that started, Lord, long ago. And Lord, how you displayed yourself as a small child. And Lord, in that manger. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to recognize that the manger led to the cross, and the cross led to redemption for us, and we ought to celebrate that day by day. Lord, I pray that you would guide my words in the next few minutes, that you'd let me be focused, how to say the things that are needful and necessary, and that all would simply come to follow you. Bless your word again, and your promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Well, you can tell I'm fixing to tell a story before COVID time when I could go to the hospital quite regularly. Matter of fact, I would go so much that when I would go to the reception, the ladies there, they knew me enough to recognize me, and I knew them enough to recognize them. And so going up there, I'd ask for a particular person where the room number was, and they gave me that. And then afterwards, it was around Christmas time, I said, I hope you have a very Merry Christmas. And to my surprise, this lady said, well, I don't celebrate Christmas. Now, I didn't say this, but I thought, what in the world? Amen? Who doesn't celebrate Christmas? And so then I just naturally said, well, you don't believe in Jesus Christ? And she said, oh, yes, we believe, but my church teaches that the Bible never does mandate us to worship his birth. And I thought, well, wow. So I began to study the Word of God and recognize, hey, we may not have been given a mandate to celebrate his birth, but we are given a mandate to remember him. And when you remember him, it naturally causes a time of celebration. And so this Christmas, we ought to celebrate the birth of Christ. And so when we do so, we are not alone. For let me just show you a few things before I get into those three quick points. One, the angels celebrated the birth of Christ, Luke chapter 2. And the angels said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. They were truly celebrating. Here's what they're saying. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The angels celebrated the Lord's birth. They were excited to hear the good news for mankind's redemption. Secondly, we find that the shepherds also celebrated the Lord's birth. Luke chapter 2, verse 15 says that it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them in the heavens, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them. And all they that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them. Listen to this. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The shepherds celebrated the Lord's birth. You know why? Because they were included in the redemption that Christ would bring. The wise men celebrated the birth of Christ. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and are come to worship him. Verse 11 says, and they were come in the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. When they'd opened their treasures, they presented him gold, gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And you could talk about many more. The Bible clearly speaks about how the angels, how the shepherds, how the wise men surely celebrated the birth of Christ Jesus. There can be no doubt that first Christmas was celebrated. But there is a danger when it comes to celebrating. If we're not careful, we will lose the meaning of why we celebrate. And by the way, that title is, it is blank must. So let me tell you, it is Christmas. It is not a day off must or a family must or a vacation must, but Christmas. We celebrate Christmas because of Christ, just as the first people did on that very first Christmas day. So let me quickly give you some things while we still celebrate this one called Christ at his birth, the time of Christmas. One, his birth fulfilled the promise of God. Remember John 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We recognize that God had promised from the very beginning one that would come to save us. Adam was given a promise that one would come and smite the head of the one that deceived them. Abraham was given the promise that through his descendants, which would be Christ, that all the world should be blessed. Isaac, Jacob, Judah, King David, given those promises that one would come. Isaiah the prophet speaks about that 700 years after or before Christ, saying this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so we look back and see how that all took place on that first Christmas day. We recognize Galatians chapter 4 as that day. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And so again, we look at the celebration. The angels recognize that celebration of this promise fulfilled, how we also ourselves should celebrate, because God keeps his promises. He is a promise maker and a promise keeper. And the promise of God cannot fail. He always delivers. Let us celebrate Christmas today because of the promises of God. Secondly, not only did his birth fulfill the promise of God, but his birth fulfilled the plan of God. His birth had a purpose and a plan that would bring, that God would bring to fruition, to more than just God dwelling among us, but now that we could dwell with God. John writes in chapter 1, verse 15, John bare witness to him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And so we recognize that God has had this plan from the very beginning to bring this one called Christ to save us. Luke chapter 2 again also says this, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It is a plan of redemption that God sent his own Son for a sacrifice for us as mankind. We read John 3:16 so many times, for God so loved the world. We recognize that. We read in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And it all culminates in John 14:6, where he says, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. God's plan was to send his Son that the world through him might make it back to God. And without God or without Christ, there is no way to make it in. And so again, we're reminded of the shepherds when they rejoiced because they realized they were included in the plan. I wonder today, would you recognize that you also are included in the plans of salvation, in the plans of redemption, that God made a promise to you that you could just simply receive that and accept that? Had you said yes to God's plan of salvation, why not today if you've never done that? His plan ends in life. Every other plan you may devise ends in death and torment. God's plan is good, and it was given for us. Here's the third thing. Not only did his birth fulfill the promise and fulfilled the plan, but thirdly, his birth fulfilled the power of God. John 1:16 and 17 says, and his fullness have we all received in grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given first, but the law had no power to redeem. Christ came in grace and truth and had the power to forgive sins and redeem us and bring us to himself. Some look at Christ and we say, well, he has power, but they scoff. They say, well, how can you say he has power when Christ simply was crucified? Let me remind you again about the plan. Christ was born to die. The cradle in Bethlehem was leading to the cross in Jerusalem. We see the power of God manifest in those things. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 says, for as much as you know you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, or from your vain conversations received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Paul writes in Galatians, basically that same thought. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written that cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. So here's where the power came in. Christ did come to die, but Christ did not stay dead. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, for I delivered unto you first of all that also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Romans 6:9 says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, but is now manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We celebrate Christ because he has the power to bring resurrection. We celebrate because he has the power to overcome death. His birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, we all celebrate. You cannot truly celebrate Christmas without the idea of why he was born. We must celebrate and recognize, not just looking backwards though, but looking forwards. I wonder, can you truly say today that you have celebrated Christmas as a Christian, that you have celebrated Christmas as a true believer? And if you've not, you've never truly celebrated Christ himself. Romans 10:13 or 9 through 13 says this, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believes in the righteous, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder today, have you celebrated God's promise? Have you celebrated God's plan? Have you celebrated God's power? Man, what a great Christmas day it'll be when you do those things and remember what Christ has done for us. Let us truly celebrate Christmas the right way. It is Christmas today. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Think about your life. Think about what God has for you. Think about what the Lord desires for you. And that is for you to truly know him, to recognize what Christmas is all about. And it starts with this idea of putting him first and foremost, that he is Lord of all. If you're here this morning and never done that, why not today? Maybe you came to hear a musical, a cantata. Maybe you came to see your friends. Why not get past all that and see Christ on this day that we remember him? Maybe you're here today and have done that, but somehow got away from the idea of what Christmas is truly all about. Why not recommit? Why not refocus? Why not be able to leave here today and recognize what Christmas is truly about? Father, we do come before you. We say thank you for all of your words that you have given us through this Holy Scripture. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust them and rely on them. Lord, I pray that we would cling to them with all of our hearts as we look back and understand Christmas and what it was truly about. Lord, help us to all call upon you and let us truly follow you. Bless the invitation. Bless your people. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.